Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ABL Pod Damn It, where pigs fly and Troy is booty.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me. It's the often imitated, never duplicated, love to be calculated, king of bada bing, sensation of innovation, and the leader of the Republic Nation, the man whose plan starts and ends with a win, and it's the man who promises to begin it again to the end. Mike Bro here with the man whose definition of sex personified, whose bombers are often glorified, whose predictions come in at an 86% rate, and compared to him, you're all just second rate. Hashtag fuck maple, hashtag fuck people, hashtag fuck maple. Ladies and gents, allow me to introduce you. His triumphant return to the postseason, Dara Domus. Mr. Altman, what the fuck is up, my good man?
You forgot fuck Kansas City.
Yeah, but Kansas City got fucked last year in the World Series, so we're going to just let that one lie. Gary, brother, what's going on, man? I know for many of you who don't know me and Gary talk quite a bit, but this is live. We are in living color. This is being broadcasted throughout the interwebs, and we are going to predict the ABL wildcard round. We are going to talk about, Gary, what exactly happened in the ABL world this year, about, you know, Havana running wild on that division. We are going to talk about basically everything that is ABL. Gary, I'm more than ready to talk ABL with you per usual. What's going on, man?
Not much. Exciting times tonight. 10 o'clock Eastern playoff start. I couldn't find the playoff predictions we had.
You know what? I was looking for it as well. I could not find it. I actually had it starred, and I do what I usually do, delete everything. But before we get into the playoff, Gary, I want to talk about, the ABL regular season with you for a little bit. Anyways, before we get into talking about the playoffs, I want to talk about the ABL regular season with you for a little bit. But just quickly, we have Manhattan, traveling to New York, Vegas, going to Duke, Portland, going to Eureka, and Jacksonville heading to San Francisco. But me and you, before the season started, had a very similar yet different idea of how the season was going to play out. I think you were higher, and let's just get fucking right into it. First to worst, Havana. Havana Mania, Gary. He's running wild across the entire ABL. I mean, running wild is Havana Media.
They are going nuts over there. Bob's got cigars. Well, he's not handing out cigars. He's handing out blunts to everybody who comes to his playoff.
Smoke it if you got it. Yeah, if you got it.
Teach
everybody inside the humor. Right, smoke it if you got it, and they will be smoking it in the humidor. Come what is 8 in-game days away. Havana, it's an interesting topic. We talked about it a lot during this year. We kind of saw Havana the first couple sims, the first month, kind of hanging around, not quite in the playoffs yet, but hanging around. And we both agreed that Montreal had taken a step back, just on age alone. But I don't think either one of us expected him to completely fucking fall apart after Gold got hurt. I mean, if you look at his record pre-Gold injury, he was up like 5 or 6 games after Gold went out. I guess maybe the leadership went away in the clubhouse. I don't know what happened. But, they went from first to, 6th or 5th after Gold got hurt. I mean, they didn't finish, 4th just out. They finished considerably back.
They just fell apart. The wheels came off the wagon there. They finished in 5th. Minnesota gets the nod above them. They didn't do that. They did bad enough to miss the playoffs in a weak division. Definitely thought more things coming out of Montreal that this would be probably their swan song. I saw there's two teams in the playoffs right now that I saw good things coming, better things down the road, and both, I think, took a step up this year, and Havana is one of them. Havana, I thought, based on where their minor league system was last year, even though it wasn't rated highly by, you know, the OSA and the BNN, but they had three teams win 100 games down in AAA, AA, and Single-A. You can't win 100 games without having good players coming. And being that the division was looking like it was aging out with Montreal, Brooklyn, and New York having basically a stranglehold on that division for quite a while, did not expect to see them rise this quickly and this season.
Now, I would totally agree with everything you said. Montreal, Brooklyn, and New York, every single person who predicted it, I don't have the sheet in front of me, but we all predicted those three to be in the playoffs. We thought, I think you predicted Havana to sneak in, but I think for the most part, as you pointed out, everyone was all in on this being one of the finals last year. I'm on the record stating as, well, Montreal has one more year left, but he should win his division going away this year. And he was leading his division going away pre-Gold injury. Now, me and you, and I guess the season's over now, and it doesn't matter with Gold's injury, so this will never happen. But I think we both agreed, and I think I was a big proponent of this, when, and this was, I thought, a great way for Tim to get out of the Nelson contract. And yeah, you know where I'm going with this. I have thrown out a fantasy trade to you. I'm like, Gary, because what do I do? I just fucking like to talk ADL and like to make up random fake trades for every team. But I was thinking, I was like, what are your thoughts on this? What if Casey, who's in win now mode, trades Maurice Doughboy Gold for Jake the Snake Nelson? Nelson, you know, famously a Duke on that big contract. Gold, at the time, hadn't shown any sort of decline. He didn't suck at this point. He hadn't got hurt. He wasn't in his, you know, after his first 6-7 weeks decline yet. And I thought that would have been an extremely interesting trade. I thought Kansas City would have got the ace that they wanted, that they got with Nelson, without the financial responsibility. You know, I mean, I think he did the Nelson trade. Dar, that ended up winning 18-plus games. So, you know, you'd make that trade before you know what you got with Dar and a couple of the other guys that you make trades for throughout the year. But I thought the Gold for a Nelson trade, in and of itself, the framework, was, I thought, a pretty good deal both ways. And it becomes obviously less important and unimportant because Gold obviously signed that crazy $50 million two-year extension before he got hurt. And I rarely feel bad for people, but I mean, people that have won some, but I definitely feel bad for Christian there. Give a guy $50 million and then has injuries. And then has a big-ass injury, and his career is basically done at 41, I think, or 40, 41. I mean, that contract is the worst in the league now, right? I mean, with Gold being hurt and being
2 years at $50 million at 40 years old and a shoulder injury, he'll be back for spring training. Yeah, that might not be one of his better moments.
And it's not his fault. I mean, injuries happen, as we always talk.
No, it happens.
And Gold to that.
Happens.
And Gold to that point was pitching great. I mean, he was having a great season. But it's just really interesting. I know we started with Havana on this. It's just super interesting with me to see Havana really take that step. Now, I haven't said this publicly. I have told you this. I'm not sure if and let me throw out it here for everyone else, Gary, that doesn't necessarily have this conversation with me all the time. I think Havana may have hurt himself with finishing in first place this year. Now, not to like,
so.
Oh my God, but not to like huge things. I mean, look at that division. Minnesota has a very talented team. They are hitter heavy in that ballpark. He's going with the three pitchers, going 30 pitches. I think if he could trade for a couple, you know, younger starting pitchers, use some of his best assets to do that, I find him. If he does that, he's in second place next year, pretty much going away. As you pointed out, Brooklyn misses the playoffs for the second time ever, I think, along with Montreal. I mean, New York is old and expensive. That division, to whoever is going to step up, is going to be right for the taking. Manhattan Beach should be back next year. I'm calling it right now. If Minnesota is able to, I don't know what the word is, move one of his assets, like pitching, I mean, he's in second or third place next year, along with Havana, along with Minnesota. Those three Manhattan Beach.
I can see that. I mean,
can you see that?
We are both two of the more active teams that trade in this league. There's several others, obviously, because we don't always make deals with each other. So we're always
right.
looking at potential deals and stuff. And I think for Minnesota, there's a deal to be had. There's a deal to be had somewhere. So
his ballpark
is one more hitter-friendly ballpark, obviously. They could take a step up. They could put themselves in the running and put themselves in a league championship series for a couple of years, even with Havana having tons of stuff coming down the road.
Oh, I'm 100% on board with you there. Minnesota, to me, is the second or third most interesting team in our conference going forward. Just based on that, as I was looking through, you know, the file this morning when I was talking to you earlier and afterwards and talking about the podcast, I was looking at the rosters and the ballparks and the factors and what some teams have coming up. And Minnesota has not much in the way of arms coming up, but they have a lot of other bats coming up. With this ballpark being so hitter-friendly, I just think, along with Havana, he's the most interesting team on our side of the ledger next year. If he upgrades and starts pitching. Now, he's put out that he's a fan of, you know, starting pitchers on 30 pitch counts. And I'm not one to tell anyone what to do, obviously. I mean, I'll tell people clearly in email that they're not trying. That's what I do. But in terms of telling people what to do, that's not really my game. You know, all kidding aside. I don't know if this works in this type of league. I'm not sure. So 30 pitches, 60, 70 starts a year. And again, not telling anyone what to do. I'm just not sure if it works in OOTP.
I don't know about that. You know what? Going back into the late 60s, early 70s, every team had a four-man rotation. And then all of a sudden there was a team in New York who had five good starting pitchers. And they went to a five-man rotation.
The Mets, correct?
Pitching coach, yes, because pitching coach felt that was what gave them the most rest and made them the most effective. It went nowhere because the Mets made one playoff appearance with that, and that was in 73, finishing one or two games over 500. But baseball was forever changed up until probably the late 80s when you had Tony La Russa come in and start with the bullpen and then the specialists, the closer, and we got the eighth inning guy, we got the seventh inning guy, and that went away from the 2-3 inning saves that you saw with how Gossage got into the Hall of Fame.
I don't
to where we are
with
now.
What you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying, Gary. What I'm saying is he finished six games back this year with no starting pitchers. He pitched guys at 30 to 40 innings pitched every second or third day. His entire thing was a middle reliever. Allen, from what my picking up on him, seems like a really smart guy. I'm guessing he's playing OTP offline, and he's manually managing bullpens, and it's working famously. Unfortunately, OTP fucking sucks balls at managing bullpens for the most part, and trying to get guys to go past 30 pitches, I'm guessing, is a clusterfuck. So him being only six games back. Hold on, just imagine him being only six games back.
There was an article on MLB.com going back towards the end of the season saying 80 pitches, four-man rotation, and you maximize the 80 pitches and life is good and you go to the bullpen afterwards. There is going to be an answer in here somewhere, and I'm not sure what the hypothesis, the answer is going to be. So
it's just interesting because
I'm not
going to
say it's wrong. I think it's interesting, and I want to see what he does. And here's the kicker: he finished. You know, he missed
six games back with no
games.
Starting pitcher. That's my point. He finished six games back with no starting pitchers. So imagine if he was able to move what is the second best offense in the league.
If he gets one starting pitcher, whether he develops it himself, goes the free agent route, or goes through trades, and then goes 2, 3, and 4. Under his same plan, yeah, you know what? There might be something there, and I want to see how it plays out. Because here's the thing: he makes the playoffs with that kind of rotation, and wins a round or advances a round. You're going to see more teams do it because pitching is so at a premium in this league that if you can maximize your assets, I think there might be something there. Or it could be a complete flop, and he abandons it, and he's doing this because, you know, he doesn't
have
no
other choice.
We don't
right.
know.
No, and it's
we
very...
don't know. We don't know what the mindset is. He hasn't filled us in. And you know what?
It's just very
advantage. So be it.
Right, and it's just
we can
it's
speculate
very...
why he's doing it.
Right, but I mean, this is why we love the ABL, because we'll have conversations speculating, and it does. His team sticks out like a sore thumb when you look at stuff like this because it's so different than what anybody else is doing. Now, let's not forget, he has Bowen coming up, who I've had on my show list for a while, for two seasons now. Bowen is going to change his plan, I'm guessing, based on just his overall potential. So, like you said, once he gets those guys, we'll see. I think he's close in terms of getting a couple of those guys. But I think, I mean, his spark factors are insane. If you look at it, look at he's eighth and he's fifth in runs scored, 860. He gave up 960. And runs against.
Tolan's got a way to go. 18 years old. He went.
No,
and
Bowen. 23. Hold on. Wrong guy. He's on his disabled list. Or not his disabled. He's Elias Bowen. He's 24.
Oh, Elias Bowen.
3 or 4 stars.
Day to day. There you go. I thought you were talking about.
There you go.
Oh, that's a completely different ball game.
Our scouts are different. They're not that different, Gary.
Different. It was just ratings versus stats.
It's just interesting. And like I said, this is why I love talking ABL with you specifically, because I know you, like myself, spend a lot of time in this game, too much time in this game, quite frankly, and a healthy amount of time in this game. I just enjoy these conversations we have, and I'm glad we're actually sitting down. I mean, I can't tell you guys how many times we've talked and been like, we should do a podcast. We should do a podcast. And this is exactly what we do. We just talk about what we notice, but there's no reason we shouldn't be recording this. Anyways, so that was kind of Havana. I think I want to go quickly by the divisions and then get to the playoffs real quick because you did promise that. I think in my division, I think there wasn't really any surprises. I think, you know, I was fortunate to finish first as I expected to. Duke and Las Vegas, cut it however you like. Second and third, I think we both picked that. That was a close race to the end. Duke winning by one game. San Diego finishing above 500.
Oh,
that
I found
Goldie
the
Lavelle.
Predictions, by the way. I found the predictions.
Okay, hold on.
Just go back to the William Attenbury division. Each of us is Jason, me, and Mike. We each picked Montreal for first. Mike picked Brooklyn for second, and Jason and me picked New York. And Mike picked New York for third, and me and Jason picked Brooklyn. So
out of that,
we only got one right each. I had Manhattan Beach at fourth. Jason had him fifth. Minnesota had him sixth. I'm sorry, Mike had him sixth. Havana. Let's see. I had Havana.
Gary, after the podcast, you should put this out. Gary, after the podcast, you need to put this out too so everyone can see.
Yeah, I will. Me and Jason had Havana sixth, and Mike, you had him fifth. And I think we're missing a team in here anyway. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No. Yeah. So you had Havana the highest at fifth.
Okay,
now we can move to the Bobby Cox division. Predictions were...
Hold on,
everybody
hold on,
was
hold on, real quick.
Go ahead.
Let's go with how we had it. We had SoCal, Duke, Las Vegas, San Diego, Dallas, Seattle, Chicago. I want to quickly touch on San Diego, Gary, really quick. San Diego made that big trade in the offseason for Ramos, Dylan Babel for Ramos, Todd Ramirez, Walt Lawson, and Manuel Fernandez. And boy, did that trade work out absolutely great for him.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely great. And LaBelle ended up hitting 290, 360, playing plus defense in that park. My creative guy, thank you very much. But that trade took him from basically off last to fourth place, which was a good increase for him. I just wanted to point it out. That was a great trade for him.
Yeah, he did well with that trade. That trade catapulted him into fourth. It took him a little while to gel in April. He went 10-14. And in September, he kind of took a step back, going two games under 500. all in all, it allowed him to stay in the hunt until the second to last sim. A better start by San Diego, and we might be looking at
a different
outcome overall. Yes.
Well, let's not forget, Duke started in first place to start the season for, what, the first month? Duke was right there, first month and a half. Duke played, look at Troy, I know you're not going to hear it, I think Duke played a little bit above his head. He was really, I think he played above his head to start and below his head after he had all the injuries. I think he finished about where he thought he would. But, I mean, San Diego did start slow. I mean, that's a good point. He started very slow in April. I think San Diego's a very good team. I think he, and our division, look, I won 117 games this year, you know. That's it. Last time I'm patting myself on the back for my win total here. But my winning 117 games, Duke 89, Las Vegas 88, San Diego 83, Dallas 82. So I'm just saying my win total brings all those other teams down quite a bit. So, you know, Duke and Vegas, while they have 89 and 88 wins, they're probably more like 93, 94 win teams.
There's not many teams that are built to win at a 714 win percentage, and that you ended up going to 722 is basically unheard of. And so you throw that out. There are a couple surprises
I'm just saying I unbalance things a little bit. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. You throw that out. There's no way you stayed relatively healthy the whole season to be able to do that. You suffered no key injuries. When you did have injuries, they weren't key. They weren't to key positions. And when they were, stop yourself now. You were going up against teams that were less. You were nowhere near the amount of injuries that Duke suffered this year. And apparently, you're still suffering from. So,
correct.
You win 117 games. You are not going to flip out the injury card. It's not going to happen. I'll call bullshit.
Okay.
There's nothing to see here. Just move on.
You're discrediting
Throw the injury card out.
Okay.
You throw the injury card. I'm calling bullshit. We move on.
Okay. I'm not calling the injury card. I'm simply stating you said I lost no players of note this year. That is not true. I lost Bravo.
There we go.
That's all I'm saying.
Bullshit.
It's going to have me.
So you should have won 160 out of 162 games? Is that what you're
I'm
saying?
I'm not talking
that,
about
that
winning.
The injuries you had cost you 30 games? How many games did you lose?
It's 45.
I'm sorry. Your injuries cost you 43 games. I'm sorry.
You know what, Gary?
I'm sorry.
It's very unfortunate when you expect to win 160 games and you have these type of injuries. I mean, shit, dude. can I say? It puts a damper on my season. Give me a break. Let's fucking move on to the Billy Martin division. Let's talk about teams who made the playoffs in the Billy Martin division.
Let's move on.
God damn it. Okay, go ahead. Let's move on to the division, the Billy Martin division, and talk about the playoff teams. But before we do that, let's talk about, really quick, your team, the Bombers. You like me, want to get through your team pretty quick. Gary, the Bombers, you
go on
record
really
saying next year is your...
I missed the playoffs.
Well, you've been on the record saying that this year was a cake year, next year is your target year. You were a victim of circumstance, I believe, in some situations this year. But we can't really point to that now, given your record behind Jacksonville. You were in the playoff race until, you know, September. And I think your team is one of the if I'm donning Minnesota and Havana, two of the more interesting teams going forward, I think your team is right lock and step with them as well. You have a lot of starting pitching, you have a lot of people coming up, that doesn't include Papenfuss. You acquired Vega and O'Day. For those who don't know, Gary had three starting pitchers. How bad has Gary's pitching over the first 15 years been? So bad that this season he had three of his top 10 pitching performances ever out of his starting rotation, the number two, the number three, the number seven, and he still finished 12 games back, unfortunately. So the South Carolina, who has always tried to build around pitching, has unfortunately been unable, after John Flip and Martin, to find those guys. Clearly, those guys are in-house now. Clearly. Maple, you know, in a shock, I think, to some, I did have Maple finishing first, I do not believe. I believe I had Maple finishing outside
no,
the playoffs.
We all hit San Francisco, including Maple. Everybody had San Francisco finishing, winning the division.
Okay. I don't think I have Maple in the playoffs, though. I'm actually surprised they finished first. I thought San Francisco was going to win.
Yes, you had them fourth.
I thought Jacksonville. Yeah, I mean, I'm not shocked. I didn't realize until halfway through the season Goldie changed his park to be so hitters-friendly, because he's always had a hitters-friendly park, but I don't remember it being that hitters-friendly.
Yeah, me and you were pretty much lockstep. San Francisco, South Carolina, Jacksonville, Maple, Cabo, Jersey, Houston. I think we got the whole. We were exactly right. We got the bottom three. Jason had San Francisco, Maple, me, and Jacksonville. San Francisco is the other team. Yeah, San Francisco is the other team. Like Savannah had three minor league teams last year coming in, winning 100 games each, and this year did it again, 102, 108, and 98, so close enough for government work. AAA finished in first place.
Did you say
second
close
place
enough for government work?
Yes. That
you guys are
going to
really
like horses and handwritings.
Oh, no, I get what you're saying. You guys are going to, you know, enjoy as much as I do Gary's fucking weird-ass comparisons going forward. Quite comical. Half the time, I don't know what he's
only
talking about. I got to Google it after the conversation. Yeah, only sometimes. So that division that you're pointing out, we all got surprised, right, is what you're kind of saying?
San Francisco is going to be around, and they're going to be around for a while. Just to revisit Havana. Havana, his A team seemed to have taken a dump this year, 84 wins, but AA, 111, AAA, 101 wins. So, again, Havana's got some good stuff coming. So, if they're not on your radar, shame on you. If you're in that division, Havana looks like it's going to be the team to beat. My division, it looks like San Francisco as well. However, Maple only seems to have a team, you know, two or three teams. And I think he's the only one in the league consistently who ends up throwing, you know, who's thrown three, four teams into the playoffs. And this year is going to be no different. Maple, 103 wins at A ball, 111 at Double A, 85 wins at Triple A. So he might take a little step back, just because he's got him, you know, waiting for the Double A players to come on up. But if his major league players can, you know, continue to perform the way they have, like Mr. Saucy, Mr.
No,
Hunt,
Gary, you know what's great about this?
Easter Egg.
Now, you know what's great about this? We only have 45 minutes.
I'm
so we're already
make
through
the playoffs
30.
Again?
No, we only have 45 minutes for this podcast, and we get cut off live in 30 minutes. So, guys, if you want to hear the playoff prediction, you're going to have to wait and listen to the show archived for the final 15 minutes, which will be archived up at 10 minutes after the show is over. And they can scroll through it. Let's quickly go to the Sparky Anderson division real quick, Gary, and then we'll tackle the playoffs of the last 15. Kansas City... in Kansas City fashion, a.k.a. luck, wins his last six, wins the number one seed in the Sparky Anderson division, Eureka number two, Portland number three. I think I had Eureka number one. I was really, really high on Eureka to start the season. And what did you tell me, Gary, before the season started?
Yes, you did. Yes, you were.
You said it's going to be extremely interesting to see if last year was Eureka falling out of it, or if their first half was just a bad fluke. And I think, you know, Luke answered our question.
Yeah, what I said about Luke's team was basically, which team is he? Is he the April to August team that basically was mediocre all year long, or was he the September team that ended up playing almost 800 ball? And this year shows that he was – closer
he's
to the September
yet.
Team. Yeah, he was closer to the September team than he was to the April through August. And, I mean, that division was a tough division all year long. You had, I think, four teams in first place at any given point during that year. Georgia was the only one, I think, who did not hold first place. Mile High was there for a while. And when you take a look at that division and you take a look at the entire Thurman Munson League side, there have been some who have been saying that, oh, you know, we have a a 93-win team missing the playoffs, and, yeah, that's kind of right, but that's also a byproduct of having the two expansion teams and having, I believe, two of the three teams to lose 100 games on our side of the ledger. You had Oakland, who is going to look like they're getting the number one overall pick with 121 losses. I think they eclipsed the New York Mets as the worst team in baseball. And then you have Houston with 110 losses, who are going to get the number two pick. So when you have 231 losses on a side, and then you have another 95-loss team in Jersey, those wins got to go somewhere. Take out the expansion teams. Georgia doesn't win 93 games. Maybe they win 85, 88 games. Maybe the entire win total, not maybe, the entire win total of all the teams goes down to take out those 230 losses. And all of a sudden, you know what? They're not a 93-win team missing the playoffs. The win totals are overstated. Your side, you had you winning 117 games, and everybody else is pretty close. They beat up on each other. Washington almost came out of the cellar, and they were 69 wins, four games behind Brooklyn. And I thought they would be the best of the bunch. I didn't think they would be that much better. They're 15 games better than Chicago, 17 games better than Houston, and 28 games better than Oakland. So whatever was being done in Washington was being done right. So you take a look at some of this stuff. Yeah, it's a 93-win team, and we can look at that, and historically we will, but there's an asterisk attached to it because of the expansion teams, in my opinion.
Correct. I mean, I don't disagree with you. You know, the expansion. Now, it's funny because we expected the runs to be higher and the rates to be lower. I went and checked this, Gary. Not only did we score less runs in the league, the pitching was better. So I agree with everybody. It's so funny because me and Gary talked about this. Everything we thought, eye test-wise, we checked, and it was completely backwards. So it was weird because everything that appeared to be, you know.
Yeah, except the win totals and stuff like that. Oakland going as bad as they did, yes, surprises me. Washington going as good as they did, surprises
me. Dude, we had Oakland pegged as the best expansion team. I mean...
No, Washington.
Wasn't it? Was
I thought they were
Washington? Sorry, Washington. Yes, Washington. Sorry.
And they were.
They did do the best.
But that was a byproduct of their division as well. We didn't think there were any strong teams in that division. And when you take a look at it, Havana winning 91 games and winning their division. Havana winning their division is not a surprise. 91 games taking that division is not a surprise. Just didn't think it would be them. Thought it would be Montreal, and 91 wins is the lowest win total of any division winner.
Right,
so it's kind of interesting there. But that division will be one of the weaker divisions for a little while.
For a while, probably.
And
they always do.
Listen, it was the Billy Martin division for the first 5-6 years of the league, where there was a different winner every year, and I think I won it in game 163 one year, going 82 and 81. You know, that's the ebbs and flows of the league. Not every division that's strong now is going to be strong in three seasons.
Agreed, Jerry.
How quickly you can rebuild in this league, just to give you some perspective as I go through. I end up saving all of my messages here. It's great. And
I don't like that about you at all.
Yeah, no, I have all sorts of reference materials.
Call
today
me on my
February
shit
16th.
I don't remember saying.
Yeah, well, don't say shit. February 16th is today's date. We're going to start round one of the playoffs, which means the season was completed. We started this season on January 6th. That was opening day, January 6th. So we got 25 days of January and another 16 puts a season into bed in 41 days or 40 days. That is sick.
Wow.
That is less than 6 weeks of gameplay. So.
And that's awesome because, you know, like you said, it helps people rebuild.
listen, 6 weeks, the season's over. Guess what? You know what? Especially if you're Oakland, Houston, or Chicago. You know what?
Or South Carolina.
Or South Carolina. You know what? The season's over. However, we're going to kick off a new season probably in a month. So,
right.
You know what?
Our off season usually is not as long as our regular season is. Gary, I don't mean to cut you off. We've got 10 minutes left. How about we do this? How about we do podcasts for each round of the playoffs? So today we just tackle the first four periods. Are you okay with that?
We can throw them out there. I got them already done. I got my predictions done. We're just gonna leave Las Vegas and Duke for last because Duke, you know, Troy always thinks I pick on them, and I really don't.
It's a seven game series, Gary. Seven games, not five games. Tell me right now.
I got one series going seven. And that's gonna
Can
be
I guess
San
what it
Francisco.
Is? It's gonna be Portland and Eureka. Okay.
No, San Francisco over Jacksonville.
Interesting. Okay, let me go through mine first, and then you can say what you want to say. We have Manhattan taking on New York. Manhattan was, New York won the season series 9-3. I have New York in six games. Las Vegas, and I'm just going in order here. I'm not picking favorites. We had Duke taking on Las Vegas. Duke is the number three seed. Vegas is the number three seed. Duke won the season series 8-4. I have Vegas in six games. We have Portland versus Eureka, the best series of the first round, I think we'll agree on. Portland won 7-5. Eureka is the number two seed. Portland is the number three seed. I have Eureka in seven. And Jacksonville and San Francisco. Jacksonville won 7 out of 12. I have San Francisco in six.
Okay.
And I like these down, by the way.
Well, I got mine. I'm just waiting to send to the list as soon as we're done with this, and I'll wait for about 15 minutes and then throw the ABL email address in and hit send. I got San Francisco over Jacksonville in seven. Jacksonville, I'm just going to read what I wrote. Jacksonville has gotten great pitching all season long, but so has San Francisco. Jacksonville's hitting is just slightly better than San Francisco's. The series goes the distance. It'll come down to the number two bullpen versus the number three bullpen in the TML to decide this. Game seven goes extra innings. So, obviously, I got San Francisco winning game seven.
Interesting. I don't disagree with you at all. If you would have said Jacksonville, I would have 110% said, you know, Gary, I am changing my pick. I think those teams are that close.
All right, let's see. Eureka over Portland in six games I have. I was going to say five, but Tanner's going to win at least one. However, Eureka has the gold standard when it comes to pitching, and as they roll out ace after ace after ace. This series could go 7-2, but no matter how many it goes, Eureka's going to advance. Manhattan Beach over New York in six. Hitting versus pitching in this matchup. New York third in runs scored versus Manhattan Beach being sixth in runs against. On the flip side, Manhattan Beach is 11th in runs scored, and New York is 11th in runs against. For me, the balance of power comes in Manhattan Beach will prevail because, as inept as their offense is, New York won't be able to stop them. And it's not a knock on Manhattan Beach's offense. It's just you got a bad offense against
this
a bad pitcher. They're going to do better.
Gary, if New York was not in that division, we could have said the same thing about New York that we said about Montreal. This could very well be one of New York's last stands. Now, his team is a little bit younger than Montreal, and I think
he
has a little more longevity. But
we did say that earlier on. We said they were aging out.
Okay.
That we're going to see a balance of power change in that division.
Completely.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the marquee matchup, Las Vegas over Duke in six. Troy's going to take this personal, and it's not.
Gary, what did I say? Did I also say Las Vegas over Duke in six? I think we're on the same page here. I also said Las Vegas
already,
over Duke in six.
But Troy has already called me out that I was going to pick against. He didn't say that about you. He said it about me.
This is the who can stay healthy series. And let's get real quick to both Troy and
yeah,
to Jeremiah.
Let me get this out, and then you can throw whatever you want in there. Duke surprisingly pitched well all season, but Vegas has the better staff. Duke, again, surprisingly, has the better offense on paper, but didn't come through this season, probably because of the injuries. That being said, Vegas bounces Duke, and the series is never in doubt. Yama's not Yama this year. So I just look at where they're going. I don't see Duke's pitching being as good as it is. Las Vegas,
well,
I can't see their pitching being as bad as it is.
We always say, what do we always say in our email threads? We always say that come the playoffs, your starting pitchers may look better than they are during the regular season. Now, I'm not going to tell anyone to do anything. When I scout in the playoffs, I scout fucking differently in the playoffs than I scout during the regular season. Now, the argument is said, well, you have better players. Okay, whatever. That's true. But there is a difference to me. I didn't always have a better player. So there is a difference to me, Gary, and I think you would agree, scouting in the regular season versus scouting in the playoffs, because you may have guys who are tired in the regular season, and they may not be playing game one or two. Like, the thing that OOTP did on the standings page for the series, how it shows you which players did what against those teams and which pitchers did what against those teams during the regular season. Before that came out, this last version, I used to manually, before each series, add everything up. Like, that page should be everybody's best friend, in my opinion. That is a huge, huge, huge thing. Unless you believe it just really doesn't matter.
It's always been there. It's always been there. You just need to know where to look for it.
Right. Okay. Well, then that too. But I think that's a big thing. And to me, this year, I want to first compliment Troy and Jeremiah. They are quite possibly the two most injured teams I have ever seen in the history of OOTP in one season. Honest to God. They were absolutely brutally, brutally hurt all season long. Troy was more vocal about all his injuries, so Jeremiah kind of got overlooked. When Troy had 7 injuries, I went and looked at Jeremiah. He had 8. I mean, both teams were just crazy hurt this year. And for them to both outlast a very much so improved San Diego team and a pesky as fuck Dallas team, I am not only surprised, but I believe some, you know, commendations in order. They did a great job. This, to me, I think you hit the head. You basically said what I was going to say. I don't think Duke hitting, his hitting has not been as good as it should have been all year because of injuries. Same thing with Vegas is pitching. I think pitching wins in the playoffs, as we've seen year after year after year. For the most part, there are exceptions. I think you hit the nail on the head, though. I would love to pick Troy to be opposite from you. I don't think I can pick Troy. Vegas is the second best team in our league. He's been hurt all season long. Maybe not the second best team. He has the second most talented players. You know, a team is whatever your manager does. But he has the second most talented players. He was without his ace and his number two. He had Cox, and that was it this year.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You also got this. You touched on, you know, the regular season and scouting versus the playoffs. Even if you scout during the regular season, there's only so many moves you can make because you're going to lose a battle to win a war. And the war is 162 games versus that one game and that one series versus a particular team. There's very few series in a season that are mission critical that you have to win, unless you get to September, in which case you're trying to make up games. Come playoff time, there are no more battles. It's all a war, and it's a race to 7. It's a race to 4 in a 7-game series.
Gary, can I ask you a completely different story. Can I ask you a question real quick? We got 1 minute left. Would you have picked anyone different in a series had these been 5 games we thought they were instead of 7? Would you change anything based on predictions?
Yes.
Do you think going 7 games?
I would have went Portland over Eureka because I think twice, beating Tanner Johnson twice, I think that would have made a difference. And I didn't look at the Duke-Vegas series for 5 games versus 7. I don't think either team has a pitcher worthy of really stepping up and being that dominant. However, Vegas does have a Cy Young candidate in Alan Cox, and that might be enough. That might have been enough to sway things. Alan Cox, Theodore Fisher, those two guys are going to be tough for Vegas to handle.